Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, we've got Danielle back with us this week.
We do. Today she was at for some soccer practice. Last week she was watching him get stitches, so I guess things worked out okay.
Things definitely worked out okay. You know, kids are going to be kids, so you just got to live.
Well, Derek, the March Madness has wrapped up, and the championship games lived up to every prediction. In both games, they were sort of parallel. You had Purdue with Zach Edey, the number one player in all of men's college basketball for the last 2 years. And it looked like he was taking on the entire UConn team by himself. He can't win a game when one player is playing against five. And I know it's not that simple, but he definitely needed a stronger supporting cast. UConn won that game handily. But in the women's game, almost the same situation. You had player of the year, Caitlin Clark, set all kinds of scoring records for both men and women. I got a thing in my text messages yesterday showing how she was actually shooting from the same distance as Larry Bird. Now, he's about 50 pounds heavier and a lot stronger and a lot taller. And so the fact that you have this young female player, she's 22, but she appeared to have to take on the whole South Carolina team, and it was just too big a challenge. If she had a few more points from around her, they could have won. But instead, we have to congratulate South Carolina as they win the women's championship. But I tell you what Caitlin Clark did was honored by the South Carolina coach, saying that she drew more people to watching the women's games than anybody in women's basketball history. She has changed the game. So people are watching those, and they're exciting to watch. And so shout out to both teams that won and to those individual players who had stellar years. But we've got Danielle here with us, like you said. I'm going to let her lead off on the education piece because it's the thing that I think most families are concerned about, the education that their kids are getting. And of course, as a mom of three, she thinks about that every day. Go ahead, Danielle.
Well, Nella Domenici, she has been the leader for education reform right now, and I've been reading her reviews and what she says, and I couldn't agree more with her. I believe that competition breeds excellence, and I believe this wholeheartedly. So I feel like people should have the right to send their kids to a private school, to a charter school, or to a public school, and I believe that our money, your money, should be following your child. So if you're a taxpayer, you should be able to decide where your kids go to school. And it would be so great if right here in Lee County, if we could offer this to parents, those charter schools, the private schools, the public schools. So I say let the schools compete. And just like Nella Domenici has been advocating, I believe that we should have more charter schools and private schools here in New Mexico.
Yeah, and the Rio Grande Foundation had a great piece on her and comparing she and her husband. They do an education to Heinrich, and basically he does nothing on education. He didn't go to New Mexico schools. He came out here after he was grown and has ran city council and then moved straight on up to the U.S. Congress and then to the U.S. Senate. But he's not from here. He moved his family to Maryland after he got elected to the Senate, so they don't even live here anymore. So he really doesn't think about the education system that New Mexico kids are getting because his kids are getting an education in Maryland. But I think your insights on education are tremendously important. Equally important in this whole issue is the price of gasoline. I want to play a clip from Reuters News Service as they talk about the sluggish sales of the electric vehicles. Of course, Biden and the Democrat governor of the state of New Mexico are trying to force us into owning those vehicles. But listen as Reuters talks about this issue of electric vehicles.
Ford is scaling back production of its F-150 Lightning pickup truck as demand for electric vehicles softens. The automaker on Friday said it would cut production at its Michigan Rouge Electric Vehicle Center to one shift starting April 1st. The move comes just 3 months after General Motors postponed the opening of a $4 billion EV plant, also in Michigan, by a year. Ford told suppliers last month it would produce about 1,600 F-150 Lightning EV trucks a week starting in January, roughly half of what it had previously planned. The automaker has said it lost an estimated $36,000 on each of the 36,000 EVs it delivered to dealers in the third quarter. The production cut comes at a time when Detroit automakers are protesting proposed emission rules from the Biden administration that would result in 67% of all new vehicles in 2032 being EVs. But Ford on Friday also said it's increasing production of its gas-powered Bronco SUVs and Ranger pickup trucks by adding 900 jobs at another Michigan plant.
It seems like the free market is still working. You can't tell people what kind of cars to drive. They know what they want.
Hey, Steve, I have a question for you. With all of this electric cars that are coming out and more being made, do you think that this is going to make it where people stop buying newer vehicles and start holding on to those gas vehicles, which will also kind of decline and drop the sales in vehicles?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. It's showing that people right now are worried that they're not going to be able to get another gas vehicle, that the price is going to go up. It'll really cause some unsettlement in the market. The manufacturers changing over, I mean, they're able to predict pretty closely what's going to happen in the purchases. But still, I know that I'm not willing to turn over my diesel Jeep because I'm afraid that I could not get another one. And so now I've got 100,000 miles on it. And so this is the way that government depresses an economy. If things were normal, if the government weren't involved, you and I probably both would be out shopping for new vehicles. Instead, there will be at least two less vehicles bought because you and I are being very careful. And then across the nation, you multiply that by the millions of people who might be in the market. And so economies start slowing down. We need fewer jobs when people buy less. And so that's exactly what the government does to create a stagnant economy.
I feel like electric vehicles scare me. They're ran off of a battery. If your battery is faulty, you never know. If you're in the middle of a highway, someone can bring you gas, but no one can bring you electricity.
Yeah, you got to have a 100-mile extension cord if you have an electric vehicle. But, you know, in addition to all of the problems with the electric vehicles, the Biden administration has made it so difficult for oil companies to drill for oil that the price of gasoline is now going up. It's approaching $4 a gallon. That's becoming a real election threat for him. So his staff is trying to figure out how they can spin that. But to tell you the truth, the problem with gasoline is that he's restricting American oil and insisting that we buy from Venezuela, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and the nations that are not necessarily friendly to us. That's a Biden administration.
The Biden administration has drained our strategic petroleum reserves to the lowest it has ever been in 40 years.
You know where he was sending that oil? He was not sending it to New Mexico refineries. He wasn't sending it to Texas refineries. He was sending it to China to help their economy. And so we have this strategic petroleum reserve. Basically, it's huge spaces that have been carved out in the salt beds underneath Louisiana, mostly parts of East Texas. So they put oil in that salt cavity because it's a very stable place to put it. And now then we emptied it. We were supposed to be strategic. It's supposed to be if we went to war, that we'd keep it. Instead, he sends it to China, empties it. He was going to try to fill it back up where he could claim to the American people, I'm putting all this oil into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And he would hope that people would remember that he's the one who emptied it. But now then he's even fallen back on that promise. Because the price of gasoline is going up, he can't continue to buy oil. Anytime the government buys oil, it moves the price of gasoline up. And so basically, he caused a big problem, and now he can't cure it, and he's going to blame it on Republicans. That Strategic Petroleum Reserve, it's not like bringing it out of the ground. It's fixed. Once you empty it, it's empty. When we're drilling new wells, you know, Lee County, we're always drilling new wells. One well runs dry, and you drill another one over here about 2 miles away. And you get that oil. And back when I first got to Congress, there were people in both parties saying, oh, we've reached peak oil, that it's going to run out. We've discovered oil fields in New Mexico that are going to produce more oil than every well in New Mexico has produced in the entire history of New Mexico. And so nobody knows how much oil is left. We're finding these dramatic reserves. When I was growing up, a big well was 100 barrels a day. Now then we're drilling wells in Lee County that are 15,000 barrels a day. And so all of those things Joe Biden is shutting down and order that we import more, but also to drive the price up. He wants the price of gasoline high where it will force people to drive electric cars. It's just all about control and manipulation. That's the entire Democrat way.
So what would the answer be? Would it be to restock what he's drained?
Well, that's a partial answer, but the real answer is let's go ahead and start drilling for more oil. Let's let the oil companies find the oil that's available. As we produce more oil, the price goes down. As the price goes down, now then that's the time to fill the reserve when the price of petroleum's down. He was filling it when the price of petroleum was up and giving it away to drive the price down. It's counterintuitive. He is just wrong-headed about everything he's doing on energy and the economy.
What does this exactly mean for us?
Well, it depends on who's elected as president. If Joe Biden is elected, then you probably are going to see $5 and $6 gasoline because that's what they see across Europe. Europe actually has about the same kind of oil that we do, the shale oil. They refuse to produce it. They say they're being green while they import oil from Venezuela. They import oil from Saudi Arabia. They refuse to produce their own. So it's this kind of head in the sand thing that Democrats do. So if Trump is elected, we're going to see lower price of gasoline because he's going to allow more production of oil. The environmentalists will say, well, yeah, but he's just trashing the environment. I grew up in the oil industry. I saw it when it was ugly, and I saw the things that my father's generation did, but it was my generation that began to clean it up, and now then your generation is even making oil cleaner.
We'll be right back with more from the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, and Danielle Hernandez on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as we continue the conversation with Steve Pierce and Danielle Hernandez. Danielle, you have some thoughts on how the government controls us.
Think about the COVID mandate, what we experienced back starting from 2009 up until, you know, pretty recently, actually.
That's just one form of control that the government uses, but it's a very damaging. You've got kids in school. How did it affect your kids and the kids that they're friends with them when they had to lock down, when they didn't get to go to school any longer?
Being locked down was really big thing, and you're isolating these children, so that was really bad on their mental health. But I think a lot of the learning gaps, for me anyways, was people wearing masks. Kids learn facial expressions by the way that you look, and when all these teachers and these kids and all of their friends were having to wear these masks and mask up and stay 6 feet away from everybody and kind of were told, like, you got to stay 6 feet away or you're going to get sick or you're going to get them sick. I felt like it really scared kids to the point where they weren't able to learn properly because they couldn't see their parents' facial expressions, them, how they use their words to mouth different sounds and different letters. So I think it caused really big learning gaps in these younger generations. And it also created a fear, a sense of fear that I'm still seeing today as I work in the schools and with children, that they're still scared to come up and give you hugs. They're still scared how close they can be to people or to have fun because the government instilled a sense of fear in these children. And it wasn't okay. It wasn't okay that they did that.
Not only that, but they instilled all that fear for almost no purpose at all. The statistics are now showing us that they save maybe 4,000 to 16,000 lives from COVID, but every year we lose 37,000 people to the flu. And so it was half as deadly as the flu, and yet we never shut down the schools over flu. It was a manufactured crisis, and they wanted to break the economy. They wanted to affect the election for Trump, and they succeeded in doing that. But in the end, we gave up a lot of freedom. But the biggest thing I think you're talking about is that kids will live their whole life that way with the fear. When I was growing up in grade school, there was the great fear of nuclear attacks from Russia. So they had us crawling under our desks about once a week, and we would sit there under our desk as if that was going to help us. I think all they were trying to do is plant fear in us, and that's what they did in COVID, plant fear in kids who'll be affected by it into their 70s and 80s. Shame on the government. Shame on the people who want a government that can lock down and take away your freedom.
Do you know what else that I see since COVID, which is really sad? You know, since COVID, even in schools now, you are on electronic. They're learning through a tablet. They're learning through the teacher teaching off their computer that's projected to the whiteboard. They're learning at a distance. Even still to today, they're learning at a distance. The teachers are not writing on the whiteboards. They're not teaching them writing it down. They're doing games and activities all on these tablets. And it breaks my heart because these kids are so glued to electronics. Every single kid in Lee County owns a tablet or a laptop, every single one of them. And then they go home and they have cell phones, Game Boys. I used to walk outside and see kids riding their bikes and playing basketball and having fun and being kids. And everywhere I go, It's like a ghost town. Like, you never see kids outside playing anymore. And it breaks my heart. It makes me sad.
You know, as we're talking about all of the problems, I really want to spend a segment here talking about Nella Domenici versus Heinrich. We've got such contrast between Heinrich and Domenici that I think that New Mexicans should be listening to this and knowing, because the U.S. Senate position is a huge position. The smaller the state, the bigger the role that the U.S. Senate plays. We had Pete Domenici for 30-something years, I think 36 years. Now his daughter's running for that. She's articulate. She has risen to the very top of the financial sector in New York. So she's been competitive. Her home is here in New Mexico. But let's talk a little bit about what we're seeing from Nella Domenici.
Oh my gosh, Nella is making huge ground right here in New Mexico. And this is exciting. I was reading on a Fox News article today where it had stated that she has raised $1.25 million launching her bid. Talk about amazing right there.
Yeah, some estimates are that that's the largest single fundraising quarter in New Mexico Senate history. And so that's huge. But you know, I called into a friend of mine in Mora County last year. I just needed to catch up with him on some party business. He was a longtime county chair in Mora, New Mexico. It's up in the Las Vegas area that generally gets people some idea where it is, out to the east of Las Vegas. But they were really affected by the fire 2 years ago. So Frank, who's my friend there, was out fighting the fires, and 2 years later, they can't get paid by the government. And so Nella Domenici goes in, and she's leading a town hall there in Mora, and he said that Democrats, Republicans, and Independents were all showing up, and they were appreciative that somebody was paying attention, because you haven't been able to find Martin Heinrich anywhere close to Mora or the fire areas or the problems that the government's creating, because it's Joe Biden, it's his administration, it's the Democrats that are refusing to pay the bills that they owe to all these small businesses. So thanks to Nella for doing that.
You know what? Nella Domenici is an independent thinker who represents change. And that is exactly what we need right now. We need change. And I believe she is the person for the job. So I really hope that she gets it.
Absolutely. And so each one of us talking to our friends have more impact than TV commercials or anything in the newspaper. Martin Heinrich wants to kill the oil and gas industry. That's 50% of every teacher's paycheck comes from oil and gas. 50% of the highway patrol paychecks come from oil and gas. And so when he's talking about shutting down the oil industry, he's talking about taking 50% of the pay away from the folks that make this state run, the teachers, the people that keep us safe on the streets and on the highways. And so, again, huge differences between Nella Domenici and Martin Heinrich.
I agree with you 100%.
She's pretty quiet spoken, you know, but when she gets on the stage, and I can imagine in a boardroom, say, filled with executives in the U.S. Senate, she speaks with power, authority, and a belief. That's the main thing. And Martin Heinrich doesn't know many of the issues of New Mexico. He is opposed to much of the ranching. He's opposed to the oil and gas. He's opposed to the farming. He wants to take away your gas stove. That's his idea of fixing the country. I'm sorry, but it's a little more complex than that, Senator Heinrich. And we're going to try to give you a ticket back to wherever you came from, because you did not come from New Mexico.
I had the honor of meeting Nella when I was a delegate over in Albuquerque not too long ago, and she is humble and genuine, but also a powerhouse.
The drug cartels are beginning to take over part of America right here in New Mexico. We'll have that and more in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. We're talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, and his friend, Danielle Hernandez. Steve?
You know, the border issue is just blowing completely out of control. Are you watching much about the border?
I did see on Fox News earlier today a showing of illegal immigrants that were actually walking across a mountain in Sunland Park, and as they were watching these immigrants, the article had stated that the Border Patrol agents apparently won't even go to that mountain. And they're just kind of, in a sense, allowing it because they've declared that mountain cartels.
The mountain that we're talking about is hugely famous. It's a religious symbol there in southern New Mexico. People come from three or four states. It's just almost on the border between Texas and New Mexico. And a lot of people come there for pilgrimages, but it's Mount Cristo Rey. And some people crawl up there on their hands and knees just as a form of penance. And I've read articles where one man crawled up the mountain decades ago asking that God spare his son. And his son survived. He spent his entire life every year crawling up that mountain. Then his daughter was taking over. He was in his 70s, and his daughter, who was a sister, took over, and she began to crawl up the mountain on her hands and knees in appreciation for what happened decades ago with her brother. And now then the Border Patrol says that the cartel owns the mountain. They're not even willing to try to stop the traffic there. The cartels are frightening, the fact that they're in so many cities. I went to briefings when I was in Congress. There was a joint task force that operated there in El Paso. And so I would go to those briefings, and they just readily admitted that cartels were in something like 1,100 cities. Now, that's been 10 years ago. 1,100 cities, and they're obviously have expanded their footprint now. And so that this religious shrine, this religious symbol of Mount Cristo Rey, everyone in the El Paso, Las Cruces, Doña Ana County, Sunland Park area, they know the mountain, and to imagine that they don't feel safe going there anymore is just an indication of how wide open that Joe Biden is leaving that border, allowing the cartels to take over parts of our country. That's not what we want, and it's going to be a frightening thing as we experience more and more of the problems with people coming across the border.
In order to stop this crisis, I feel like you have to vote Republican, because obviously under a Democratic leadership, we've had more people cross that border than any other presidency. And I believe if Trump is nominated and he is the person who wins, that he will put a stop to that immediately.
Yeah, you always want to have immigration. That's where you get new ideas, you get new blood, you get new families. And we all want folks who will come here, they'll leave the country where they have relationships, where they know the language. They come here not being able to speak the language. But I tell you, one of the people who recently was arrested here came across the border, supposedly seeking asylum. That's what the Biden administration says. We're going to let those millions of people coming in the out. They're all looking for asylum. Well, this is one of the Satans. They're the ones who shot up the butcher shop during a reign of terror across Bogota, which is in Colombia. And so he was arrested in Texas. He was a Venezuelan fugitive seeking asylum in the U.S. because of his religious beliefs or because he's being persecuted in his country. He is being chased in his country because he is an outright criminal. And now then we've had to arrest him here. And so that's what we're going to find. The U.S. government is talking about the number of terrorists that they've caught. They don't know how many that they didn't catch, how many just came across the border, because it is wide open. And if nothing else, they come across Mount Cristo Rey, where the Border Patrol doesn't even try to get them anymore. So that's what you've got under Biden. Donald Trump, as you said, had the border secure, and he will secure it again. If you want to change and what's happening on the border, simply vote Republican up and down the ballot. That's what it's going to take. You see there in southern New Mexico where they found the migrants hiding in that middle school. And so to imagine those kids, fifth, sixth graders that are sitting there with people who could be very dangerous hiding in their schools, that's not the kind of society we want. And again, folks, if you want a different society, if you want something different, you're going to have to vote different.
Did you read that new Senate border bill that they're talking about? I was reading it on Fox News, where it accepts 5,000 illegal immigrants a day and it gives automatic work permits to asylum recipients. Did you see that?
Yeah, I've been watching it. The officials in the government are actually saying that the bill would continue the catch and release program, and that it would end the statute requiring detention by changing detention to non-custodial detention, which means they simply catch them and release them. You don't let 5,000 people a day in, because do the math, in 30 days, that's 150,000. That's over 1 million a year that are coming in scot-free. I'm telling you that we need to start protecting the American workers, the American taxpayers, because they're coming in, they're taking tremendous amounts of money out of our city budgets. They're taking money from the school budgets. So it's very expensive. Under President Obama, they had some detention facilities in southern New Mexico. It's costing $750 a day for each one of them, that camp that they were in, you would think there's no way it would run $750 a day, but the government overpays for everything. So it's just taking money away from taxpayers at a time when taxpayers are struggling.
Not only with it being the taxpayers' dollars and, you know, the increase of homelessness, it's bringing in so much drugs into the United States. So Bernalillo County right now is looking for volunteers to help clean up needles and syringes.
So again, the Democrats, this is their idea of governance. Republicans want a stable, secure government that polices and keeps the drugs out of the country. And in Bernalillo County, run by Democrats, they're asking for volunteers to help come in and sweep up the crap off the streets because people are using the restroom right in the middle of the street. But they're also dropping their needles and syringes right there. Kids walking around, they wouldn't be safe. They step on a needle, now they're infected maybe for their whole life. And so what a mess that Democrats cause. And so again, folks, as we wrap up today's program, a dozen or more reasons to vote Republican. And that's because Republicans know how to govern and Democrats know how to mess things up and then try to cover it up. So it's a big difference. Again, we've been joined today by Danielle Hernandez, the new good friend of mine out of Hobbs and Lee County. A professional woman. She does her work and raises her kids and does a magnificent job and all the way around. So Danielle Hernandez, thanks again. I'm Steve Pierce. Join us next week for another program of Inside New Mexico.
Thank you, Steve. Folks, if you've been listening to the program and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, there's several ways to do that. One is go to the webpage. It's newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and an X account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you may call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. We thank all the radio stations around New Mexico who carry this program. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week on Inside New Mexico.